Excuse me just a minute, I've got to get a cough drop out and see if that'll help with the itchiness in my throat. It's good to see all of you this morning. It is an interesting day outside, but we are thankful for the weather that God gives us and the blessings we have through that weather. We need to remember that much of the weather is in fact a manifestation or showing of God within our lives. The interesting thing about Jehovah God as opposed to the gods of many religions around the world is that God is willing to show his love to both those who are his and those who aren't his. It comes in the form of grace. And we think that that's a wonderful thing about God as he presents his grace to us. There are other aspects of that that are much greater, and we'll certainly talk about that in the near future as this month, though not this lesson, but this month we're going to begin the year-long examination of grace within our lives and grace as presented for us in Scripture, and I hope those lessons will be encouraging to each one of us. But what I'd like to do first of all is look at what for this morning's lesson, I'd like for us to look at what Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, let me see if I can get this to work. It is not working. I'm beginning to think it's operator error. If you'll advance the slide and then we'll go from there. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. There's an expression there with the idea of minding your own business. We have various views of what mind your own business is about. And in looking at that, we often will find that individuals see it as talking about things that aren't relevant to what they need to be doing. There we go. So we think of individuals talking about our business to somebody else when it was something that wasn't their business to talk to somebody about. And in that regard, we certainly want to have the attitude, stay away from that. Stay out of my business, if you will. Paul, though, is talking about it from a different perspective. The actual context of our reading there a moment ago was that individuals were out not laboring, not working, and therefore had free time and were getting into each other's business. And I want to recognize that as now I go and use the passage in another sense. So we understand that that's the context there. But there is something to be said for the idea of taking care of our business, of minding our business. So the lesson this morning is going to center around the question of how are you attending to life? What are you doing? How are you responding to the responsibilities that we have within this world as we walk about, as we deal with daily life? And I think we're going to see that as we deal with daily life, it's going to be important to understand how we deal with our spiritual lives as well. I want to look at 3 points in the lesson this morning. And that's going to be the idea of the observance with regard to what's going on in our lives and to be very deliberate in what's going on within our lives, and then the idea of being careful with what we do within our lives. This is one of these lessons that we could next week plug in some other things and still deal with this particular topic, and then even another time plug some other points in and deal with the topic. But this morning and for this lesson, we're simply going to be referencing these points for our thoughts and consideration. We want to begin by talking about the idea of that which is being observant. It's often important to recognize the responsibility we have to learn from the mistakes that we make. If we learn from mistakes, we're going to hopefully avoid them. If we learn from our successes, then hopefully we're going to repeat them within our lives. And good is going to come from the things that we observe, from the successes we have. The Scriptures give us an instruction from the Apostle Paul in that regard, there in 2 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In verse 5, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Does anybody here feel like they are disqualified from their walk in the light? That's another issue altogether. So we would all acknowledge then, those who have died with Christ in baptism, we would all acknowledge the fact that indeed Christ is to be living in us. We have a responsibility to make that observation about our lives. And therefore the examination takes place as to what we're doing in that walk in the light. How are we behaving? What are we thinking? What are we experiencing as we go about our lives on this earth? It's important that we as Christians recognize that that is a responsibility before God, to constantly test ourselves in our walk with the Lord. We also note something else with regard to this matter, and that is simply the idea of a self-awareness. It is interesting to me that over the course of life, I probably have been lacking self-awareness. Most of us have, probably, in the course of our lives. What we would like to hope we've done is grown out of that and have an awareness of what's going on, have an awareness of who we are, have an awareness of what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. It's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to take seriously the consequences of our actions. We need to be willing to do that. We need to note the consequences. Because everything we do has some type of reaction to it. Whether it's we ourselves or those around us, whether it's that which is good or that which is bad, there's going to be reactions within our lives. Even if we were one who was living isolated from everyone else, there would still be consequences that we could note about the things that we're doing in life. So it's important that we be observant of that and we take seriously our responsibilities in that regard. Don't think that the consequences are not there by the things we say or the things we do. With regard to the company we keep and the interactions we're involved in, all of these bring about the consequences that we need to be observant of. Over in Deuteronomy, Moses says this in 32 verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. This is a song of Moses after everything went on with the giving of the law, the golden image and all that stuff that went down. He was praying that the people of Israel would find themselves being wise enough to understand what they were doing. And I think that's applicable for you and I, to take the time to have an understanding of what we're doing. The proverb writer tells us this in 14 verses 8 and 9. And I use the ESV because I like the reading of the ESV on this particular passage. All the others, as you know, are usually from the New King James. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Fools mock at the guilt of offering, but the upright rejoice in acceptance. What's he telling us here that would be applicable for you and I? God views you wise if you take note of the things you should be doing. And because you take note of them, you are going to do them. They don't just happen to be what God wants done. They become deliberate actions, deliberate things in your carrying out the will of God within your life. I think the proverb writer is letting us know that there are individuals who will understand what's going on and do what is wrong. There are others who understand what's going on and strive to do what is right. Fools, though, they don't care. The fool is the one in Scripture who's going to do what they want to do regardless of what God's Word calls upon them to do within their lives. Another thing we would note with regard to the matter of these consequences is to understand very clearly that God expects us to understand. God expects us to listen. God expects us to know what's going on within our lives. If we're mature enough to reach the age of accountability and come to Christ, we're mature enough then to continue to mature more and more. And from the time we became Christians until now, if it's years, obviously there's a growth. But there needs to be that growth, and the best way to have that growth is to be observant as to where we are at each stage within our lives, each stage within our development. And so the last point on this particular point is that we need to have the responsibility, the ability to observe ourselves. Kind of like the passage we read earlier there in Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. We need to be individuals who are indeed full of self-awareness to know where we stand before God at this time. To know whether or not the actions that we engage in, the company we keep, the things we're involved in, whether or not it really is what God would want of us and not simply what we want to do. Therein, the observance of self is important. And then we consider again the proverb writer in chapter 4, 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Where are you going this year spiritually? In order to really answer that, you need to ask yourself, where have you been this past year and the year before that and the year before that? Because in observing where you've been is essential, I believe, to observing where you want to go. It should be something that you actually are taking the time in the course of your life to plan out and make provisions for that progress within your life. It would be a terrible mistake to think that we can go through life unobservant and simply stumble into what God wants of us. God has never intended it to be that way. The idea of being deliberate then is the idea of recognizing the quality that is chosen within the choices we have. In almost everything in life, in America, we have choices. There are societies in this world where they don't have very many choices in some rather insignificant areas. And there are some places where they don't have many choices in some very significant things. But I'm talking about the spiritual, the choices that we make as children of God. One of the great speeches that's given in the Old Testament was given by Joshua. When he was about to depart, that is to die, he left this instruction in verse 15 of Joshua 24. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That needs to be a daily challenge to each and every one of us. It needs to be one of those passages that we, if not memorized, we have very clearly within our minds that we're making choices today. We're making choices even at this moment. We're making choices as to whether we tune the lesson out and are simply a body sitting there until the service is over in a little while. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. One of the great speeches that is similar to this was the situation with Elijah. Here's what he says, and then we'll remind ourselves of the context. And Elijah came up to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Think about what's transpiring there. There on Mount Carmel, Elijah has made that great demonstration of God's power. He's allowed those of Baal to make fools of themselves in trying to get the fire lit around their sacrifice. And then when it comes time for him with the sacrifice that he's giving to God, he presents what should be an impossible scenario, an impossible setting to succeed in burning up that offering. And yet the power of God comes through and consumes that offering, consumes the water that had been poured on it. Now, I believe that everyone in the audience this morning is thinking, had I been on Mount Carmel? Had I come up to Mount Carmel with some idols in my pocket that are for Baal? I'd be dropping them on the ground right now because I've seen the power of God. And yet the people, having seen that tremendous power from God, aren't sure of what they're going to do. And if they, under those circumstances, weren't sure what they were going to do, it may be legitimate to ask within ourselves here, are there those within the audience who truly aren't sure what you're going to do with regard to your walk with the Lord this day? We need to know the power of God and follow the power of God within our lives. We need to recognize that if we are going to live our lives in a haphazard fashion, if we're just going to randomly do things, then at times what you're going to end up doing is stumbling across what God wanted you to do. But if you stumble across what God wants you to do, then your doing it is not going to have the value of one who has determined their relationship with God and they do what God wants them to do. In other words, the doing of God's will is, by God, expected to be a deliberate action on our part because of a contemplation and a willingness, and therefore we will do what God would have us to do. We can't just simply stumble through life thinking everything's going to work out eventually. It needs to be deliberate. Back to the Proverbs. In Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's why it's important that we guard our minds. That's why it's important that we let the Word dwell in our hearts. That's why it's important that we indeed make provision for carrying out the will of God opposed to anything that Satan puts before us. And what we have to also be willing to do in a very deliberate way is to recognize that those things that are not deliberate in our service to God, but have a spiritual and moral tone to them, come from Satan. They do not come from God. The reason I worded it that way is that there are things we do in the course of life that are simply the incidentals of carrying out life. They have no moral, no spiritual significance to them. But we know there are things that we do that have a moral and specifically spiritual bent to them. And we have to decide what we're going to do. And we have to be having and encouraging our children to make those decisions as to what we will do. Strangely enough, in making a decision, the Lord used, from our scripture reading this morning, a very interesting situation in which Martha, who loved the Lord, who went to the Lord with regard to the death of Elijah or Lazarus in coming out from the grave, she went to him and said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. So she had that faith. But notice then there was a time when she said, Mary, you need to be helping me. And Jesus made this point from the reading this morning in verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What had she chosen to do? She'd chosen to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he was saying and learn from what he was saying. We need to have that attitude as well, and that deliberate sense of carrying out our life's needs. And ultimately, we need to be careful about what we're doing with our lives. A haphazardous life is not a careful spiritual life at all. As we look at this idea, we recognize that life indeed requires caution. It requires carefulness on our part. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." The interesting point of this passage is that while in this lesson thus far, I've tried to encourage all of us, there's an underlying message for those who are not doing as God would want, and yet in outward appearance you appear to be doing what God wants. But in this particular passage, it's a reference to those who appear to have a higher spiritual standing than others, and a reminder to us that we need to be careful that we don't let that higher moral standard, that higher spiritual standard, become a self-righteousness within ourselves. The setting there is the whole eating of meats question. Paul's reminding the strong Christian about the damage he could do even as a strong Christian. And so we need to have that caution. We need to have that carefulness within our lives. We need to have a caring enough to work for a quality of life. It needs to be something that's important within our lives. Again to Proverbs, in the 22nd Proverbs, verse 9. "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." What's he telling us here? What's the point that's being made for you and I as we carry out our life? God wants us to knowingly do things that are good for others, to deliberately look for opportunities and take advantage of opportunities to do something for others. I will tell you that I think one of my greatest shortcomings in preaching over the course of years is not to have stressed, both within my own life and within the life of those within the audiences that heard me preach, is to have the heart and actions of a servant to all, not just those who are part of the local congregation, but rather to all. That may be, of all the things that I would wish I could change, that may be one of the most significant things that I could wish to have changed in the past. Because there are people in need spiritually that also are in need in so many ways physically. And it seems in reading much of Jesus' words, there is a responsibility to try to serve those who are in need physically and look for opportunities spiritually. And I would wish that we had that greater eye of generosity in helping those who are in need, so that we could look back and say, what did we do around Thanksgiving with those who were in need? What did we do around the holidays that everybody was so involved with giving and sharing with one another in relation to those in the world? I think that's something we need to be careful of within our lives. In the 12th chapter of Romans, in verse 11, he says, "Not lagging, be diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I think one of the things that I've been strong in those years of preaching Is it trying to encourage both myself and others to be serving the Lord? But I think we can be serving the Lord without diminishing opportunities and finding opportunities to be serving other people. It's part of who we should be and what makes up our character, if you will. The last point there is the idea of walking circumspectly. If we think of walking circumspectly, what we often do is think of it in the sense of walking in a circle. We're going around this and just being careful as we walk in this circle. But the word really has a different meaning to it. The word really has the idea of being careful. So that as I walk, if I walk straight forward right now, I'm careful not to take the extra step that would take me off the platform here. I've got to be careful in the things I do. I've got to be careful in the way I walk. I've got to be careful in my surroundings. In that sense, we need to be encouraging one another, especially with our young people, to be careful in the company that they choose to keep, to be careful of the ideas that those around them are espousing, because they can be affected in two ways. One, they can be affected with immoral behavior. The other is that they can be affected with immoral behavior. You say, well, you just said the same word twice. What I'm really saying is they can be affected by immoral behavior and they can be affected by erroneous spiritual behavior. And it's because of the friends that they've gathered in. And it can affect you and I as adults. But most of us as adults have already, we have a pattern of friendship among us. But our young people are just developing those patterns of friendship. And so we want to encourage them, be careful about the close friends you take on. Obviously, be careful if they're wanting to engage and encourage you in immoral behavior. But be careful also because they will strive to engage you in unscriptural behavior in spiritual matters. I saw something on Facebook this past week that I wish I'd have written down, but I didn't. And I went back to look for it. I couldn't find it, and that's okay. But and it came from a denominational scholar, which I found to be interesting that that was the source. But it was the whole idea of how so many people were getting into an entertaining service and filling up auditoriums, filling up church buildings with thousands of people because they had put together an entertaining, spiritual-laden service that attracted people, that satisfied their senses. And his comment was that worshiping God is not intended to be that which is entertainment. It's intended to be that which allows us in a godly way to glorify God, to uphold God. So we should not have our highest priority of whether or not we leave having been entertained. And we need to instruct our children and help our children understand that's not what it's all about. And yet most of them, because of the schooling system, their closest friends may well be within those groups that find themselves to be the most entertaining at a certain level. That's not teaching our young people to walk circumspectly. I think it's important that they walk circumspectly within their lives. It's important, as we consider Paul's reference there, to be careful and encourage our young people to be careful as well. As we close this morning with the observance, the deliberateness, and the carefulness of how we're attending to life, let's remember what Paul told the Galatians. In Galatians 6, verses 4 and 5, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one will bear his own load." If you'll remember earlier in that chapter, and I realize we're just talking the previous three chapters, three verses, the admonition was to be willing to bear other people's burdens. But then he comes back to ourselves. And the reality that we need to be willing to hold up what God wants from us. That needs to have priority within our lives. That needs to be what is important for each and every one of us. And I would hope that we would do just that. You know, Timothy had been told that he was indeed to meditate on things that he was given, to give himself over to them, be continually involved in prayer, in the doctrine of Christ. And the responsibility for him was to encourage others to do that as well. And I would hope that a lesson like this is encouraging for each one of us to give attention to our lives, to give attention to what we're doing in relation to our walk with the Lord. I thank you for your attention. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. Remember what John tells us in John, 1 John 1 and verse 7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Are we walking in the light this day? If you understand what's necessary to put on Christ in baptism and you have not done so, we would hope you'll take this opportunity to confess Christ as the Son of God and have your sins washed away. If you're a child of God that needs to be more diligent in the way you're attending to your life, then I would hope the passages we talked about, the things we said, will help you examine your walk with the Lord and make it a closer walk with Him. But if you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.